This is the Closing Market Report, ladies and gentlemen, from Mandeville, Louisiana. I bring to you the lonely bull of the agricultural markets, Dan Zwicker. Hey, Dan, how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. What an introduction.
We're going to change your catchphrase from giddy up to ole today.
Ole. Well, I feel like the bear banded me this week on the corn market. But we're still holding the line in the sand. From a technical perspective, corn really needs to hold this 460-ish. You know, 463 is kind of my number. I'm not going to bother with a penny or so, but that's the 50% retracement level on the lead futures chart coming out of our January low up to our spring high. So July corn futures, which is a lead month at least for the time right now or for the next several weeks, the number is right at that 63 level. Is 63 is also the number on the continuous December corn futures chart. Now, that low was actually made at 410 when December 13 expired. That was made in early December at 410. So when you look at the December continuous, what I'm doing is using, once the December 13 contract expires, I use December 14, and when 14 expires, it'll switch over to 15. So the 50% retracement level on that chart is right at 463 also. So those are the numbers that I think the market needs to hold to stay structurally sound to pull out of here and still stage a meaningful summer growing season rally. Now, whether or not that goes to new highs or not, we'll have to see what the factors are. But that'll keep us structurally sound anyway to move higher as we go into the summer months. Now, if we slip below it, depending upon how far below we go, I think what that'll do is just make it more difficult to put together, from a technical perspective, a meaningful rally. But the way today's markets work, I don't think there is anything, any kind of, you know, really line in the sand. Right now, the trade, I think, runs the risk of working in all of the bearishness of the 2014 crop way in advance of harvest. Now, whether or not that's this week or next week, the trade is basically ignoring any kind of acreage loss. They feel that if there is any acreage loss in the northern areas, it may have been offset by increased acres here in the central growing region where they were able to plant. They feel that very comfortable that after 4 years of below trend line yields, that this is the year we're going to bounce back to trend line or above at 165. So I don't know how the balance sheet could probably get any looser. At least that's the way the trade is playing it. And if you've heard one El Nino type summer weather pattern that's going to give us rains late in the season, you've probably heard that a million times. That's not necessarily the case, but the trade wants to play it that way, and that's the way. And basically, the bear is winning, at least at this point.
I think that might be the case, but maybe where you live now in Waco, Texas, you get a better chance at rainfall. But I don't know that it has so much of a difference here, and we hear that from many of the meteorologists we talk to. Can I take you back to a fundamental point from the USDA report? And we've talked about this a couple of times because the 1.7 billion bushel carryout for next year is short a couple hundred million bushels from the export market. And I think you maybe have an awfully good view of that from your vantage point there in Mandeville, Louisiana. Do you suppose USDA is right or wrong in cutting out an extra 200 million?
For next year?
For next year, yes.
Yeah, I think they are. There has been big improvements in demand from Latin or Central America. And I think the 1.7 is way conservative. So I'm more inclined to think that exports will be near steady for the 14-15 crop year. Now, I do know that, you know, we still have a large Argentina crop out there to work into the world market, and we do have fairly large Black Sea supplies to work into the market. But I think there's demand that will absorb that. And actually, if prices stay at these levels and don't rally, I think it's all the more likely that USJ's demand number is way low. So China had corn up sharply this morning, so there's something going on in that country. They've been kind of selling off their reserves to kind of keep prices down. So I'm not totally convinced that all of this expectations of a big corn crop around the world for the coming year is definitely something that a guy wants to bet on. I mean, that's the bull argument, or I mean, the bear argument is all betting on what is to happen. And what is to happen is all the acres get planted, we got to have a trend line yield, and blah blah blah. Now, if something comes along that changes that formula, then all of a sudden we can dry up that excess corn that the market seems to want to tout about of 1.7, which I think, you know, in a market that you're using 1.1 or 1.2 a month, 1.7 is not what it used to be like it was 20 years ago. And it doesn't take much of a hiccup in a world weather market for that number to change in a quick order. But and then the other thing is that I think the resellers of this old crop corn, they're all short up to their eyebrows on cash corn to meet commitments through the summer months, and they're betting that this corn's going to come to them, but I'm not convinced the supplies are necessarily out there to come to them. So some of that's not where they're hoping here after planting that the crop gets up and going, the farmer's going to let loose. They seem to think the farmer owns a lot of grain, that's going to come to them. But if it doesn't come to them, there's going to be a big scramble to try to buy cash corn inventories, and that's going to be a real interesting July, especially if we would ever get ourselves into a two-week period of hot and dry weather or something that would trim the national average yield down to maybe something like 160 or whatever, that could be quite explosive.
You worried at all that the wheat market will drag corn with it lower?
Well, wheat is, wheat, they do go together. Corn and wheat does go together. And basically, that's one of the things that's kind of bullish corn is basically wheat has priced itself out of the market, especially in the hard red winter wheat areas. And that was where there was wheat being fed in the feedlots. The hard red or wheat crop, we don't know exactly what size it is, but we know it's the worst it's been in I don't know how many years. Now, the soft red winter, everybody tells me, is halfway decent. It's a good crop. But the thing in wheat is what's interesting is wheat kind of has kind of a reserve. The commercial grain trade wants to buy as many bushels of wheat as they can to put in excess storage so they can earn carrying charge. The carrying of wheat has been a cash cow for the commercial grain trade. And you're going to see commercials want to own wheat. And they're going to try to buy as much of it as they can to fill up their bins. So it kind of isolates itself away from the market, and they're going to have to make a play for it at some point in time, because I don't think the commercial grain trade owns much wheat. Farmers do have a tendency to sell their wheat at harvest because they don't want to mess around storing it, because a lot of that bin space is designated for corn and soybeans at a later date. But the commercials are going to want to buy wheat and store it and earn carrying charges in the wheat market. I mean, that's just really been a good cash cow for the commercial grain trade for several years, and they're gonna continue to do that. So there's a limit to how cheap this wheat's gonna get before they'll step in and maybe start taking delivery on the wheat during the month of July. Or maybe September, but they want to fill their bins full of wheat. I do know that.
Okay, so you're making a pretty good bottom foundation for the corn market, even with the wheat in the place. Soy complex now. You discussed the potential for corn being held off the market. Does that mean, in particular, the northwestern part of the Corn Belt will put more bean acres in and leave the grain that they've got already in the bin there?
Well, that's a good question. I think the ones that can plant are probably still trying to put corn in. I think this is the last week for that. I think enough farmers planted that, you know, early June corn last year that ended up with a bad experience, that they'll probably switch that to soybeans, or maybe they just might decide, depending upon what the weather pattern is, that they just may go for prevent plant and just leave her set idle. We'll have to kind of see, because the weather maps do look like they're still kind of wet in some of those late areas. But yeah, that would be my guess, is they're going to maybe switch to soybeans, but we don't know for sure. Actually, what's really interesting, if you look at the new crop, December corn, November soybean, corn-soybean ratio, the last 2 weeks here, the market seems to be worrying about losing soybean acres to corn. And I'm not really too sure what that's telling us, because on the surface, if you read the wires, we would think it would be the other way around, that the weather pattern has shaved corn acres and likely increased soybean acres. But we haven't got all the beans planted yet. We don't necessarily know what kind of weather pattern we're going to have for July when the double crop beans go into the ground. The bear yesterday got fairly upset with the forecast that warm Junes lead to hot Julys. They got mad as hell on that one. I'm going to poke the bear all summer. I think the statistic says that if you do have a warm June, two-thirds of your Julys are very hot. So that's something to kind of put in your back pocket to see whether or not that materializes this year. A lot of weather forecasters still are not wanting to buy into the warm June. They're still wanting to keep June more cool. But if you look at your weather models over the past week or two, they have been wanting to warm things up from the cooler weather that we had earlier this year. They still keep it damp, but we'll have to see. This is, I think, the next 3 weeks is going to be real critical here to see what kind of summer weather pattern actually does set up, because I do believe it will be set up by June 20th, and that will kind of lay the foundation of what kind of summer we're going to have.
All right, and take one more minute for the soybeans with me and lay out how they look on the chart.
Soybeans have really not done any technical damage whatsoever, even with Monday's decline. The way I view the chart, I know you can kind of probably drive a pretty good-sized truck through it, but if you look at the lead futures chart, you probably are talking about a 1470 low and a 1530 high range. So you're kind of in a 60-cent, maybe 70-cent trading range. It's got a triple top in it, and as a rule, triple tops are not reliable tops for the long pull. And for the most part, I think this is a sideways trading range. It's a step. that the for the foundation for the next leg up in soybeans. And that goes with the idea that unless we see some massive sale cancellations like tomorrow morning, we're going to have an export sales report, but we're still, you know, about 50 million bushels oversold than what USDA has accounted for on their balance sheet. So the market, the bean market, still needs to do some work as far as rationing inventory, or USDA is going to have to find some inventory on the June report. And there is a belief in the trade that maybe USDA is understating last year's soybean production number. And we may actually have more beans around than what is on the balance sheet. But I've visited around with a lot of my friends that I've developed in the Corn Belt, both co-ops and commercial grain companies, and try to find some beans. They're scarce. So that'll be an interesting situation, because unless we find some beans, for the most part, farmers sold theirs around $13 out of the field. There might be one or two farmers that still have $20 beans left over from the last time, 10 years ago. But I think it's going to be very difficult to find any cash beans. I think old crop beans have some work to do. And then a lot of this demand, I think what's going to eventually happen is going to be moved into the new crop year, and that is why new crop November soybeans find support. I think it's still in position to it held a nice break here. It climbed back. Today was a little slow. We'll see how we finish out the week. But the line's still pointing up to me in the soybean on new crop soybeans.
Well, as we close out, let me just say, olé, Dan.
Okay.